What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brandon, back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I'm joined by Eric Podolsky. I hope I said that right. I asked him pre-show, and I believe I did, but if I messed up, my apologies, Eric. But he is one of the co-founders of Bitcoin Talent Co., which helps you plebs out there, get connected with Bitcoin companies looking for jobs, are looking for workers, looking for people who are Bitcoiners and inspired by the Bitcoin industry and want to start working in it. So we talk about the overall macro economy, the job market, and Bitcoin companies. And we even get into a little bet there, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, depending on who won. So you'll have to tune in to listen to that. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, this is not financial advice. Everything you hear in this podcast should not be taken as financial advice. Now, let's get into the episode. Whoosh. Bing bong. I'm back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast. And I got Eric from Bitcoin Talent Co. in the waiting room, where we're going to talk about his experience as a recruiter, how Bitcoin companies are looking right now, looking for jobs in an uncertain macro environment, and much, much more. So stay tuned for all of that. But first, shout out to my sponsor, PlebLab. So if you're in Austin, Texas, obviously go check out this space. It's like right in the heart, downtown on 6th Street. You could go and use the lightning door, send some sats, and open the door and go in and pop in. Get yourself a day pass and go into one of the co-working spaces up there and just interact with some of the great minds in there. But if you're not in Austin, feel free to get a Nomad Pass. You get access to every single one of their communications, their Slack channel that has people like Odell, Super Testnet, all these great people in the space where you could really pick their brains. In that Slack channel, you see the ideas flowing and all the different ones and much, much more. They also have two upcoming events. On Friday evening, June 23rd, they will be hosting a Satlantis Gamer Night plus barbecue. So be sure to check out the website, pleblab.com. And then on July 1st, they have the Fresh Bites Farmer Market coming up on their outside little courtyard area. So be sure to check all that out. I think they're still looking for some farmers too. So if you're in the Austin area, be sure to hit them up. PlebLab.com, get yourself a Nomad Pass or a Day Pass and go say what up to Car and the fellas. And then shout out to Codl Co. That's CODL.co, best punch plates in the game. You guys know the drill. They've been a sponsor for a decent amount of time now. So use promo code GREENCANDLE at checkout and you'll be able to, you know, get your Bitcoin off exchanges and securely store those seed phrases on a punch plate. And you get 10% off by using promo code GREENCANDLE at checkout. So I got Eric here waiting for me. So Eric, man, how are you?
I'm good, brother. Just grinding through this day, but yeah. Having fun doing it, working in Bitcoin. How you doing?
I feel the same way, man. I feel the same way, but I always get rejuvenated when I get to talk to great people like you. So for those who don't know you, don't know what you're doing in this space, why don't you give us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain? Who is Eric and how did you get to create Bitcoin Talent Co.?
Sure. Yeah. I've been in the Bitcoin space probably like 5 years now and working full time in the space coming up on 3 years. Previously was working for Bitcoin Magazine, had a small education company of my own. And then I realized there was a gap in the Bitcoin only industry. No one was doing a recruiting, right? Recruiting exists in all other industries. And if someone listening doesn't know, that essentially means finding, placing candidates, employees with companies. So this exists all other industries, but for some reason, no one's focusing exclusively on the Bitcoin landscape. And having the network that I had, I got together with my co-founders and founded Bitcoin Talent Co. And the whole purpose of it is to connect Bitcoiners with Bitcoin companies, or if there's talent outside the industry, we also go try to poach them and try to convince them to come work in Bitcoin and educate them along the way. So that's a quick summary of what I've been up to the last couple of years and what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's great stuff. But let's take even a step farther back there. Tell us the orange pill story. How did you find Bitcoin? And then,
from there. Yeah. Right around the end of 2017, I was at university at Penn State. And during 2017, that's when the Bitcoin price rose up pretty high. So I saw that happening, and obviously I was curious. I was just like, well, what's going on? I need to learn about this thing. Had no previous like insight or idea of really what it was. I just kind of wanted to get rich, to be honest. I saw other people getting rich buying it and holding it. So I was like, why not me? So while I was at university, they had actually had a blockchain club where they talked about various crypto assets. They were shilling a lot of Ethereum and educating, all the university students on that, including myself. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, this makes no sense. But after that, that's what got me to buy Bitcoin and got into crypto trading. You know, I thought it was hot stuff, making money here, doing that. And then 2018 came, the market tanked. I lost all my money. I couldn't go to the bars for a couple of weeks. I was kind of upset about it because I lost all my beer money. But yeah, so after that, that was like kind of my first real introduction to the space. And then after that, the next year or two or so, I started going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, realizing that Bitcoin's different than the rest. And as you know, the more time you spend learning about Bitcoin, the more you think about it and you want to eventually dedicate your life to it. So after university, I was working as a civil engineer. It was really boring, depressing, honestly, just because I was working in like a corporate office and I was just like not passionate at all about what I was doing. So from there, I decided to quit my typical career path and said, I want to work in Bitcoin full time. That's exactly what I did. And like I said, I'm almost 3 years in now and it's probably the best decision I've made.
So yeah, but it's interesting, you know, you went from an engineering background to now like recruiting. So, you know, talk a little bit about that. Like, how did you, you know, obviously there was like a gap in the market, so I could see, you know, the logic behind it, but you know, why were you like sort of, I guess, aiming towards this instead of, I don't know, you maybe utilizing something along the lines of engineering, whether it's mining or something, you know, that's, I guess, you know, a little bit more, I guess, obvious of a Bitcoin related company.
Yeah. I always knew that I could go from engineering to business, but I also knew that it was a lot harder to go from business to engineering. That being said, you know, I got my engineering degree. I worked in the industry for a little bit. Figured out it's not for me. And I kind of like had the hunch too. I've always had more of like an entrepreneurial mindset, really into business. All I do in my free time is listen to like business related podcasts. So I came to the point where after university, I actually had a small real estate wholesaling business that, and I had two people working under me. And anyone listening doesn't know what that is. Essentially, you go out to homeowners, you cold call them, you email them, whatever it takes, mail them letters, and you try to get them to sell your house at a discount. And then you take that contract and then you flip it to a buyer, typical real estate investor, something like that. It's honestly a really great way to make money. So I was already like kind of going the business route in a way. And this is while I was working my engineering job. So I was going the business route while working my engineering job. I knew I wasn't going to stick in engineering all this time. And I didn't really believe in what I was selling in terms of real estate. That's why it never really like stuck with me. And in the background too, there's Bitcoin more and more being ingrained into my life. So I was trying to think, how can I combine business, my interest in business, with my interest in Bitcoin? And like a lot of people that are in the Bitcoin space, it sounds very attractive to combine your career, your everyday work with something you're passionate about. So yeah, that's what led up to me, I guess, quitting my engineering job, diving head into business. Like I mentioned before, the Bitcoin education business honestly didn't make much money. So I needed something to sustain myself while working in the Bitcoin industry. That's when I applied for Bitcoin Magazine, got my foot in the door there, worked with them the past year and a half. And then eventually my co-founder, Andy, reached out to me. So Andy actually had a recruiting firm based in Silicon Valley. He was one of the first like 100 employees at Uber. Super legit when it comes to recruiting and being an expert in that field. And then what I had is I had the network in the Bitcoin space, right? So through Bitcoin Magazine, working on the business team, and just being in Bitcoin for the past couple of years, I had a bunch of contacts. Whereas Andy was an expert at recruiting, I had the network. And then our third co-founder, Michael Tanguma, he was formerly at Unchained Capital, but he understood what it was like dozen up to like 100 or so, and what that's like in the Bitcoin space and hiring Bitcoiners versus not hiring Bitcoiners. Yeah, just having a really good understanding of being a hiring manager in the Bitcoin space. So the three of us got together. This was probably in late 2022. We started talking more and more about the business and the opportunity there. And then December, we just started reaching out to companies and we got a few bites and we're like, okay, there's obviously demand here. And then from there, yeah, we decided to go full-time into it and publicly launched in February. So to wrap it all up, essentially, I knew I didn't want to be in engineering my whole life. I knew I wanted to be in business, and then took it another step further, combined my yearning for being in business with my passion for Bitcoin, found a niche in the space, and here I am today.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. And it's really, you know, you're putting in the proof of work, right? It seems like everybody in the Bitcoin space is like, you know, kind of trying to figure out like how to maybe land a job or figure it out, you know, whether it's, I don't know, something with mining relating development. There's a bunch of different ways you could kind of get involved in the Bitcoin space. But yeah, you guys created this company kind of in a unique time. It seems like, you know, 2022, 2023 time now, the economy hasn't exactly been, you know, the greatest for the job market. And, you know, Jerome Powell has gotten up there and said he's going to keep increasing rates and higher for longer, and that he's expects to see some, I guess, some increase in jobless claims. But on the flip note, it does seem like there's a lot of growth in Bitcoin related companies as they're kind of, you know, young and getting off the ground. So, why don't you talk a little bit about like the overall like landscape when you see it, maybe one from like just traditional jobs and then two to compare to like Bitcoin related companies.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious now that all there's an imbalance in the market right now, not even in the Bitcoin industry. There's a lot more job seekers than there are companies employing. So that means there's a lot more competition. But let's take it back. Thinking back maybe a couple of years ago, I'd say 5 or so years ago, maybe 2017, 2018, that's when the distinction between a Bitcoin company and a crypto company became apparent. It started emerging. I know Bitcoin Magazine in like early 2018 or so put out a blog post about why they're switching from a crypto company to being a Bitcoin only company. And then they were one of the first, and you saw more and more Bitcoin only companies emerging since then. And now it's at the point where there's quite a lot. There's enough to be an industry of itself that's disassociated from crypto. So now we have this emerging industry. And along with that, we also have venture capitalists that are exclusively investing in the Bitcoin space. So Bitcoin-only VCs pouring money into these startup companies. That also means they now have more firepower to hire people to come work for their companies. So yeah, you could just see how this is evolving now to the point where this industry is sustaining itself. There's opportunities for people to work for Bitcoin-only companies. And there's enough to support a decent amount of people that are interested in Bitcoin more generally. Even though I did acknowledge, yeah, that's the depths of the bear market. It is a little tougher right now, but that just means you need to work a little harder, I guess, putting that proof of work to show why a Bitcoin company should hire you over someone else.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And I mean, you know, obviously Bitcoin isn't immune to the overall macro environment when it comes to like jobs and hiring stuff like that. Because, you know, even though we're getting closer to maybe like a Bitcoin denominated world, hyper Bitcoinization, or whatever you want to kind of use, we're still in that fiat world as it is right now. So we're exactly. Just trying to work our way towards it, right? So, but on that note, so what can somebody do to kind of help themselves, I guess, stand out? Like what are some of the trends that you're seeing of Bitcoin only companies, like what they're kind of looking for in every single one of their candidates?
Sure. Yeah. Some immediate action items a listener can do right now would be make it obvious that you're passionate about Bitcoin. I've been in recruiting now for the past 6 months or so, and I review a lot of resumes, and it still astonishes me like how many people don't put in their resume, their cover letter, whatever it may be, like make it very obvious that you're interested in Bitcoin and show why. It could be as easy as saying, I love Bitcoin. That's all I do in my free time. Or it can be, here is my proof of work. This is what I've done in the Bitcoin space over the last few years. Just try to make it as glaringly obvious as possible that you're interested in working in Bitcoin. Not enough people are doing it. And the truth is, Bitcoin companies, whether you're entry level or you're going to be a CTO or a chief level type person working in a company, they want to see some kind of association that you understand Bitcoin, at least 101 level knowledge, that you're passionate about it, and that you'll be a good culture fit, I guess, for their organization. A lot of these Bitcoin companies are filled with Bitcoiners, so they don't want to bring in someone that's going to go shill, like, hey, why aren't we building this product on a different blockchain? Or maybe not align with the typical Bitcoiner profile, which is like leans more like as like a libertarian, understands the point of separating money from state, having the certain qualities that Bitcoiners have to be a culture fit in their organization. So yeah, whether you're an entry level or going all the way up to the top, you need to make it apparent that you are involved in Bitcoin some way, shape or form, right? Because when they look at resumes, typically now Bitcoin companies for one job position, you'll get 100 up to 1,000 like applications, right? So you got to think, whoever's reviewing those resumes, including myself, I'm taking what, 20, 30 seconds at most. I'm just doing a quick filter. And if I don't see anything related to Bitcoin, I don't see anything related to your professional skills outside of Bitcoin and how you can be useful for this specific job, then I'm just going to say no. So very first thing, yeah, make it apparent. Second action item I'd say you can do right away is start a proof of work project. I'll be coming out with some additional frameworks, some structure to help people, Bitcoiners, start their own proof of work project. But the idea is pretty simple, right? Bitcoin's built on proof of work, and Bitcoin companies like to see that you put in work in the past. You get an idea for, like I said, you're passionate about it, or get an idea what you're interested in the Bitcoin space. So a proof of work project is essentially some kind of proof of you doing something in the Bitcoin space. Now that can take the form of a blog, that can take the form of a TikTok account, right? That educates people about Bitcoin. It could take the form of a podcast, such as the State of Bitcoin podcast, right? So as long as you're contributing to Bitcoin some way, shape or form, putting out education, connecting with others, whatever it may be, and then you're putting it out in public, showing people what you're doing. Now you kind of have this track record, this history of being involved in Bitcoin in some way, shape or form that you can go and reference in an interview, or you can even help you land interviews. So if you're listening to this, you're submitting resumes, you're not getting a call back, the next best thing you could do is just start contributing to the Bitcoin space via a proof of work project. Show other people what you're doing, post it online, talk about it all the time, and then opportunities come your way.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's one more thing there that I don't think you mentioned just yet, but I think it's more so on like the networking aspect of things.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, what I've always found is like, you know, I have a lot of people that approach not only me, but kind of talk about, hey, I want to go to, or I want to work in the Bitcoin space. And I always hear about all these stories. People go to their local meetups, they go to a conference, or maybe they drive a couple hours to go to another bigger meetup in a bigger city or something like that. And that's where they kind of shake somebody's hand. And
yeah,
you know, really that in-person interaction, I think, goes a lot longer than people really want to give it credit for.
Yeah.
And, you know, that also shows like the kind of like the proof of work, the effort of like contributing to the space that, you know, might not be as obvious as like, hey, you know, I made the podcast or did something like
yep.
that. But,
yep.
You know, you kind of brought up like making sure your resume shows that you're like into Bitcoin, right? So say you're just somebody that attends a meetup or does something along those lines. Is there something that you would say that maybe, I don't know, would member of XYZ meetup for X amount of months or years or whatever it is, would that kind of, I guess, help put you a little bit farther ahead, you think? Or is that something that you guys don't really look at too much?
Definitely. Yeah. Any kind of indication. And after that, I want to talk a little more about networking too in the Bitcoin space. But yeah, what someone listening can do, let's just say, like you said, you attended in-person meetups, say which local meetup you go to, and even reference the organizer and how often you go. Or I'm trying to think here. What else can you do? You can say how long you've been in Bitcoin, maybe what type of, I've seen people list like how many hours they've dedicated to learning about Bitcoin, their favorite podcasts, their favorite documentaries, whatever it may be, to show that you understand or you're interested in Bitcoin and you understand it's different than crypto. So if you go and put in your resume that you're a big fan of blockchain technology, you love Web3, all that kind of stuff, you're probably great for the crypto industry, not great for the Bitcoin industry. And hiring managers tend to be able to sniff that out pretty quickly once you're in an interview. So yeah, avoid language that alludes to crypto, and just put anything down on your resume that signals that you're interested in Bitcoin, whatever it may be. You could say, I listened to 10 episodes of the State of Bitcoin podcast. Here's a reference from Brandon, right? That's, you can get creative with it. And then I'll just ramble some more here. I want to get into the networking aspect, because I think that's actually one of the most important things job seekers can do, and really anyone in the Bitcoin space. So what's interesting is Bitcoin's like a digital phenomenon. So everything's online. And you see how the world's moving right now is everything's online. We spend so much time on our phones, our laptops, our computers. So what that means is that, to me, humans are social animals, and we're lacking, more recently, we're lacking that face-to-face human interaction. So if you go and put yourself out there, go attend some kind of in-person event in the Bitcoin space, that's going to drastically increase your odds of bringing new opportunities your way. So a couple examples of in-person events. One could be your local meetup. You can go search, Google it. There's a couple other resources online. I think Swan has Bitcoiner events where they list different events throughout the US at least, right? So just go attend one. Another thing is conferences. There's so many Bitcoin related conferences nowadays. There's at least one or two a month. So find one that's nearby, find one that interests you, go shake some hands, talk to people in the Bitcoin community. And then lastly, I guess would be this, this new app called Orange Pill app. And I just got on it recently too. What it is, it's kind of like Tinder in a way for Bitcoiners. But the idea is, without the dating aspect, it's just like, I want to meet people around me that are interested in Bitcoin, right? So we can talk about Bitcoin and I don't have to annoy my significant other that's not as interested about it. And yeah, just talk about Bitcoin. But that's just another example of getting in person, meeting other Bitcoiners. You don't know these, someone you can meet from that app, just one person, go grab lunch with them. They could be the CEO of a Bitcoin company. You have no idea. And more often than not, I tend to find that a lot of leaders in the Bitcoin industry do attend these in-person events, and it's actually really easy to access them. You just have to kind of take the first step and go and show up. From there, it kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I agree with you there. Like, obviously, you know, I brought up the networking aspect of things, but yeah, I mean, I think we met in person before we even got on here too. I think I met you right outside the Bitcoin Commons. So yeah. It just kind of shows there, like, in a sense, how things can kind of move just from that. And, you know, I think as people get, I've gotten more online, that in-person connection goes exponentially farther, I think, now, yeah, just because of that, because you have access to essentially everybody at your fingertips. Now you could tweet at them. You can, yep, you know, message them on Noster. You could do so many different ways. So many people are just online. So, you know, I think, like I said, I don't know if I could stress that enough. I think that the in-person stuff, I'm not the recruiter though. So just take it from Eric himself about how far, you know, the in-person stuff can go as well. But yep. I kind of want to jump back into like the overall like jobs market and sure, kind of, you know, what you're seeing there, because, you know, it in the Bitcoin space, there's a lot of startups, right? I mean, Bitcoin's new in itself. So there's not very many companies. I mean, it's impossible to have a company that's been around for more than like a decade at this point.
Yeah.
So with that, it's obviously a lot of startups. It's a lot of companies that are looking for venture capital money and kind of trying to use that to help accelerate their growth. So, you know, with that, you know, being said, VCs are somewhat being a little bit closer to the vest with money. It seems like in the Bitcoin space, you know, they obviously know, like, especially Bitcoin only VCs are more willing to, I guess, invest in a bear market, so to speak. So on that note, you know, are you still seeing like a lot of, I mean, I guess growth in certain aspects of Bitcoin specific companies, or are they, I guess, more picking and choosing, like being more strategic when it comes to some of their job postings and like positions that they're hiring for?
Yeah, I guess the first thing I'll say is the venture capitalists that are both more broadly VCs or even the Bitcoin focused VCs, they want to throw money as much as they can at Bitcoin companies. There's not enough of them, to be honest, because they realize building on Bitcoin significantly increases your chances of exiting one day, right? So there is a ton of money out there if your business actually makes revenue. It's a real business. It's not like a fake business that we've seen prop up over the last decade or two, where it's just like, let's throw a bunch of VC money, maybe one day get to revenue generating place. But so it's surprising to see that. And then the current state of Bitcoin, I would say what happened in 2020, 2021, the price of Bitcoin went up from like the low of 3,000 all the way up to almost, I think it was like 69,000 or so, right? That's a pretty big increase. You had a lot of people coming into space that weren't here previously, which isn't a bad thing. And then, yes, you just had a lot more general interest, but also what you had is Bitcoin companies had a lot more capacity to hire. So a lot of companies decided to go crazy with hiring, like, this is the bull market. You know, we have a ton of demands from our clients, customers, whatever they may be. We need to staff up as soon as possible to be able to fill these needs and really power our business, because the price is just going to keep going up. And then what happened is the Bitcoin price fell. A lot of these companies hold part of their treasury, company treasury, in Bitcoin, right? So now they have way less funds. They're burning cash like crazy because they hired too much. So then they had to go through a round of layoffs, and that happened like 2022 or so. You saw a ton of different layoffs. And now where we're at, fast forward to June of 2023, I think we're starting to see a recovery from that. I think we got through like the depths of the bear market, but that scar still remains for founders and hiring managers in the Bitcoin space. They know they can't next bull run. They can't go and hire like crazy. They have to be more strategic about their hires. So that means for full-time employees, it's really considering, is this role needed or not? And if it is needed, being a little more stringent with the hiring process. So maybe it means more rounds of interviews, extra take-home assignments to make sure they're competent at that role. I think right now we're in a good place, whereas I'm seeing a trend where companies are starting to hire more compared to late last year, since I started getting involved in more of the recruiting space. So that's great. I love to see that. And then you have to consider contractor roles too. So contractor roles aren't full-time, right? And there's some benefits of like hiring part-time or temporary employees, which is you don't need to pay for their full benefits aside from salary alone. So you can hire someone super specialized, and contract work opens the door now to more possibilities and just more, opportunities for people looking to work in the space to get their foot in the door, whether Bitcoin companies, do it a temporary position, and then from there have something on your resume to apply to a full-time role.
So what are the, some of the more desirable skills that Bitcoin specific companies are looking for right now? Because, you know, I mean, as job, like we've kind of lined out, as they get a little bit tougher, and, you know, what can you do to kind of, make yourself stand out? Like, is it more of like a developer, or is there, I don't know, maybe marketing, something along those lines? What are some of the more desirable, more common positions that Bitcoin specific companies are looking for?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's essentially two buckets: engineering more broadly, so that's front end, back end engineering, or even full stack. And then the other side would be sales and business development, because in a bear market, you're either building your product up or you're trying to sell it. And then everything else comes secondary. So if you have any experience in sales, business development, or you're an engineer, your opportunities are still there. You're favorable right now in this market. And then when the bull market returns, I think we're going to see all those other roles be in demand again. Some of that's non-technical. Writing in the Bitcoin space is actually super valuable. So putting your content out there in the form of writing leads to, you can be like a social media manager. You can write, you can be an analyst, you know, do research in Bitcoin space. Let's see what else. Yeah, I guess I'll just end it there. I think the top two are engineering and sales.
Yeah. And I mean, like if somebody doesn't have an engineering or like front end, back end, that kind of background, I mean, I know there's multiple courses out there. I know PlebLab, obviously yeah. Sponsor, they offer some stuff. You can make a YouTube channel, kind of do some of the proof of work that way to show, hey, like, this is what I'm developing. You know, you could do a lot of various things that, you know, if you're not necessarily like that in your fiat job, it can make you more valuable when it comes to Bitcoin specific companies.
Yeah.
But you did mention something at the beginning, which I kind of want to get into as well, about potentially poaching some people from just like, I guess, normie land into like Bitcoin specific companies.
Yeah.
So talk about, like, have you done that yet? And what is the experience like trying to get, I guess, somebody from normie land into a Bitcoin specific company?
Sure. And real quick before we get into that, wanted to touch upon what you mentioned first. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought. We'll just go on to the next part. Talking to normies about Bitcoin, what we do is we go into the market and we cold email, cold LinkedIn message, whatever it takes to get in contact with people outside the industry. And I guess in our first cold message, what we say is exciting new opportunity in the Bitcoin industry. And then we list more about the company itself. Once we get them on the phone, then what's surprising is a lot of these people are actually receptive to it, especially if you show there's VC funding behind it. There's a legit team. You can point to co-founders or founders that have somewhat of a social media following, that social proof. That really opens up the door to at least them being interested. And then from there, once you get on the initial phone call screening, you let them know a little more about the company, obviously the role, but it's all about also about the Bitcoin industry and the opportunity that's there and that's emerging. So really it's, in a way, it's kind of a pitch, right? So really hammering on that opportunity and how that opportunity will keep growing over time as the Bitcoin price goes up and network adoption increases. That really resonates with them. And what's really special about that to me is the thought that I can go and poach someone from, let's say, Google today. They come and work for a Bitcoin company. And then let's say in the next 5-10 years or something, I'm sure they're going to do some crazy things in the Bitcoin space. And they might even spin off and create their own company, whatever it may be. But yeah, it's super interesting to think the people I'm helping to bring in the industry now, what are they going to be like in the next decade or so? And how are they going to help build the Bitcoin industry?
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely agree with that, you know, that sentiment. And I want to talk about like kind of some of the companies that you guys are helping out now. I don't know if you can fully disclose all of it or, you know, maybe you guys like have it on your website or whatnot. But what are, I guess, some of the more like general type of Bitcoin related companies that you guys are helping out? Is it more of, you know, maybe like a Swan kind of type exchange, maybe like Lightning develop wallet kind of companies, or is there mining companies in there? Like, where have you guys kind of found the most, I guess, synergy when it comes to the recruitment space?
Yeah, I think it's a complete mix. So in the past 6 months or so, we've worked with, it's like 6 or 7 different companies, helping them for various roles. Some major ones, I'm not going to list any names, but exchanges are obviously huge. Any like company that's bridging fintech to Bitcoin, those companies are looking to hire like crazy. More recently, we just started working with a mining company. So we see that the mining industry alone, it's a whole different industry. It's a whole different ball game. We're just starting to dip our feet in the water there and building contacts. So yeah, I would say the last 6 months, we've been really focused on, I guess, the broader ecosystem. Lightning companies are emerging like crazy. There's a lot of opportunities there. So Lightning, fintech related Bitcoin companies, and like I said, yeah, mining more recently.
Yeah, that's great stuff. But you mentioned like fintech companies kind of trying to merge into the Bitcoin related space. So I want to ask you, you're kind of obviously looking at Bitcoin only companies, but have you given any thought or maybe approached some companies that maybe they've had a little snippet or some rumblings about potentially moving into developing some product related to Bitcoin? Have you guys kind of tried to reach out to some companies in that sense? To kind of see if like, hey, like, we have the background in recruiting, we know kind of what it takes, and maybe like the CEO, C-suite exec or whatever at this, fiat, whatever company, they want to develop something in Bitcoin, but they just don't really have the knowledge or the expertise to one, even get started, and two, to even hire for the positions.
Yeah, actually, I have a good example of that. So I'd say, like, since we soft launched and hard launched back in February, it's like I said, it's been half a year or so, hasn't been too long. So there's plenty of Bitcoin-only companies that we've been reaching out to, trying to develop business with. But aside from that, obviously there are more broader companies. Think of typical banks. It's one that comes to we're not working with them. One that comes to mind is like Fidelity, right? This is someone that traditionally does retirement accounts related fintech, and you see them starting to advertise more and more for Bitcoin related positions as they're trying to offer more Bitcoin products to their customers, whether that be investing in Bitcoin through your IRA, taking custody of it, whatever it may be. So yeah, more recently, this is literally like the last couple of weeks, we started working with a bank that, custodies Bitcoin on behalf of their clients. Now, am I the biggest fan of that? I would obviously prefer if an individual takes self-custody themselves, but sometimes there's laws that prevent them from doing so. So, yeah, we're working with a bank to help offer or help find a candidate that is an intersection of Bitcoin and fintech to help build out their Bitcoin-related product. And work with the local regulators. And as we look into the future too, I think there's going to be a lot more of that. Our thesis is eventually every company will be a Bitcoin company, as every company in the 90s became an internet company. So in the future, yeah, we're going to keep opening up our services to whoever needs it. And I'll end with the caveat that we're willing to work really with any company. But if they offer other digital assets, we will still work with them, but we're only going to help them recruit for their Bitcoin related roles. We really just want to push the Bitcoin protocol forward.
Yeah, I like that. But you did mention about some potential regulation, and obviously, like, we can't really go through this full talk about companies and everything else without somewhat mentioning what's going on with like Coinbase and Binance and some of these other like crypto, it seems, regulations. Gary Gensler today, even we're recording this on June 8th, so a little bit earlier than it's going to be released, but Gary Gensler has kind of come out and laid the hammer, so to speak, on when it comes to some of these crypto, shitcoin casinos and like all that kind of stuff. So I'll leave it kind of broad. Like, how do you view, I guess, the overall landscape when it comes to, potential regulation when it comes to crypto companies and potentially to Bitcoin only companies?
Yeah, I guess it depends what your product or service is, but more broadly, I think the lines being drawn in the sand where Bitcoin's considered a commodity, everything else, all the other crypto tokens, coins are being considered a security. So that means, at least in the United States, they're regulated under two different bodies and have to follow certain laws and rules. So in the favor of Bitcoin being labeled as a commodity, I think more generally it's easier to operate as a Bitcoin company and offer your products and services. Whereas if you're offering other crypto products, staking where you can earn yield, whatever it may be, more broadly, you're gonna face a lot more regulatory barriers that could really hinder your business. So it's pretty interesting to see it emerge here. Like I understand one side of it. Like we saw FTX collapse in late 2022, and that automatically makes me think at least that yeah, I mean, where are the regulators? If they're there, why not regulate? And crypto more broadly has just been the wild, wild west since Bitcoin's been created. So part of me was glad that the SEC is starting to actually like take action. But being a Bitcoiner myself, I don't want anything to do with governments being involved in the industry. I think just let it go for itself. The general population has to eventually understand that most of these crypto coins are scams. They're pump and dumps. And the only way they're going to understand that is if they feel the pain themselves. And it's kind of crude to say, but having a regulator come in and kind of like half-ass in a way, like the regulation and let people get, I don't know, try to protect them, but not really. I just don't really see it as being that helpful in the overall space. But the United States is a leader when it comes to, I think, the other government agencies around the world. So the decision right now to label Bitcoin as commodity and the rest as security, it's gonna be visible in the rest of the world too, as more and more regulation comes out. And I think Bitcoin companies are ultimately better suited to thrive in this new regulated environment.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, just the, like the centralization aspect of a lot of these like shit coins and everything else. And like just kind of all of the regulations that have been kind of coming out. I mean, it makes it seem like, you know, it's inevitable for every single alternative crypto outside of Bitcoin to be labeled as a security. And once that happens, there's going to be severe limitations to those businesses. But, you know, obviously, you know, on Bitcoin specific companies, they might try to regulate those in a sense. But I think, you know, just the aspect and like the decentralization nature of Bitcoin and, you know, all the aspects that kind of attract Bitcoiners to Bitcoin. And the reason why we're here today, I think that that's, you know, the solution to a lot of the world's problems is, you know, I think in a sense, a reason why I think it's going to be very difficult for, you know, regulators in the United States to, in a sense, regulate on Bitcoin specifically, just like Bitcoin only. So, you know, I think, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, I don't understand why it took so long. And so, like, the worry or the, I guess, the thought that comes into my head is like, you know, why now? You know, we got like kind of the Federal Reserve. By the time this episode comes out, they're going to have another decision on whether or not they hike interest rates or not.
Let's take a bet. What do you think?
I think they're going to raise by another 25 basis points. I think, like, you know, based on what Powell has been saying, higher for longer, all that kind of stuff, like they're very reactionary. The unemployment numbers came out today. They weren't as high as, you know, Powell has said, like, this is kind of the benchmark. And so, you know, in my opinion, he's going to keep raising maybe 25 basis points or just like pause and then maybe raise the next one and just kind of continue that trend up until he cuts probably until like not Q1 of next year.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen in the meantime, I think, is that the overall, you know, macro environment is going to turn to shit and the Fed's going to have to pull back a lot quicker than they probably anticipated. And things are just going to go haywire. You know, we're already in a massive inflationary time. We're kind of in, I guess, stagflation now based on like what economists call it. But I think, you know, just taking that. What Bitcoin does, the best thing it does is it takes that power out of, you know, Federal Reserve's hands, because they're using data right now that is survey data. And like, all right, how often are you checking your mail for an employment thing, checking the boxes and sticking a stamp on it and then mailing it back out? Like our generation, we don't do that really anymore. You know, like that's not really... everything's digital at this point. So they're using data that, you know, has a response rate that's tanked, and they're basing major decisions off of that and not really having like an ear to the street of what is actually going on. So, you know, I think in a sense, it's kind of a long-winded answer. I think like, you know, that they're going to, you know, essentially kind of continue to raise until, you know, then it's too late and then they're going to pull back quicker than they probably should be. And it's, you know, we could always sit here and play Monday morning quarterback and just be like, yeah, you know, the Fed, they fucked up. But at a certain point in time, it's like, I don't really want that job either. And I don't think anyone could really want it. So
I think Bitcoin, I honestly think they're going to pause because you just see all these banks failing. I think if they keep raising, it's not going to be good. Things are really going to break at that point. I'm betting on a pause and putting it out there. Are you willing to bet 100K sats, like $20 or so on it?
We can. Let's do it. We'll bet 100K sats. And I think I saw today that the percent chance, like that, you know, the market always kind of puts it out there. The percent chance of the raise has now gone up to like 25 basis points now at like 33%. Hmm. So I'm sitting kind of in the underdog seat right now. Yeah. I'll do it. I'll take that bet.
I think it'd be fun, especially when the episode comes out. We can see. We can drop this up into a small clip. But yeah, it's so weird to me that we're living in 2023 and a handful of humans are deciding at what price money is worth for the rest of the globe, really. Isn't that like, it's crazy to me. It should not be allowed at all. And we're still just bowing down to the system, besides people that are trying to exit, maybe gold bugs or Bitcoiners that really understand how corrupt it is. It's just like, since I started learning about how money works, my mind is blown that more people don't realize this, wake up to it. And another point I wanted to make too, I think there's some evidence coming out, which I've wrote about maybe a few years back. There's evidence coming out more and more that the government data that they put out, even though there's latency and the way they gather the data isn't the best, I straight up think they're just lying about the data and they're trying to tweak it however they can. I mean, take a statistics course, you understand that you can manipulate data really any way you want. So I think they're manipulating it. It's just more of a confidence game. So if they lose confidence in everyone, more things will break. And ultimately, I don't think they can raise rates anymore. Or you're going to see not only the, you know, a top five bank fail again, you're going to see way more of that. You're going to see bank runs happen and things are just going to explode into chaos.
Yeah. I mean, well, they always say, right, the biggest lie is CPI. So, I mean,
that's what I wanted to bring up. Right. Yeah. I remember when I was working my engineering job, I calculated CPI for myself. It was way higher than 2%. And I was supposed to get a 2% raise that year, plus like a little extra for like getting a promotion. And then I went to my boss and said, hey, look, like this is not right. Like you have to give me more than 2% to account for inflation. And he said, no, that's just like the standard. Because that really opened my mind to like, wow, okay. So starting to think for myself here, and I can't trust what's out there without verifying it. And so once you do that, you realize not only is CPI is a lie, you're seeing more and more information, just like unemployment or new jobs added, whatever it may be. That's kind of a lie too, in a way. Like, are you actually getting an accurate number of that? I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely not. I mean, we saw it this year. They changed the basket of goods again of like what the CPI is based off of. So, I mean, they're like doing it to themselves. And then, you know, what people also don't think is like, all right, well, you know, we had 5% CPI print. Then that's year over year. But what about, you know, the 10% that we had the year before? So that's 5% greater than and then, you know, the 2% maybe that we had the year before. So this is all exponential. So, you know, it's just like compounding on compounding on compounding. And I mean, you know, you look at like something as simple as like gas prices, right? I mean, I don't know where you're at, but I'm in Florida.
Montana.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure the gas prices for you you've probably seen them increase. Maybe not as dramatically as some other states, but you know, they were floating around $2 a gallon here in 2020. And now, like, if you're getting $3.50 or under, you're getting a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. And you say that's almost a full 100% increase right there, a 75% increase. So it's a crazy world that we're living in. And this is why we need Bitcoin and more people to get into Bitcoin related companies to help accelerate this thing, because I think there's still a ton of development to be done. Whether it's, maybe ease of use for Bitcoin, spending Bitcoin, maybe it's onboarding businesses. You guys could do like a bunch of other different things. So, I guess what is the most unique position that you've seen that you've helped recruit for so far? Have you had any cool ones that like really stand out at the top of your mind right now before I let you go?
Not specifically, no. I would say some of more engineering related roles, where the company themselves are building really cool things on top of Bitcoin, not in Bitcoin base layer. It's more of what's happening on Lightning and related layers above Bitcoin's base chain. that's where the innovation's happening. I don't really want to say too much about the company because I'll give it away. And we don't really want to publicly announce who we're working with, at least right now. So I'll leave it at that. But all I could say is there's a lot of innovation happening. And if you're planning your career and you want to make a career switch, I think this is a really good idea to switch over to Bitcoin, because that's where, through this next decade, two, three, whatever it may be, you're seeing basically what happened to the internet boom happened to Bitcoin right now. And all these companies come up and merging and building things around it that are going to last too.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, they're definitely going to last. They're building, you know, it seems like everybody in the Bitcoin space, although, you know, you think you get the, you know, impression that Bitcoin's like super volatile, jumping up and down. It seems like everybody kind of understands the principles about, you know, saving, kind of like, it's almost like risk averse in a sense. Just kind of ironic to say when you first get into Bitcoin, it's almost like everybody's kind of like, you know, in it for the FOMO ride up. But it seems like, you know, every founder that I've talked to is more on the risk averse side. And that's why they got into Bitcoin, which is great stuff.
But yeah, it's to someone on the inside that understands Bitcoin, you understand that you're more risk averse, actually, because there's really no counterparty risk unless the protocol breaking. Whereas everything else, where else are you going to put your money? I don't know. Like, everything else has counterparty risk. There's a ton of risk involved. And I mean, I'm making a bet, but I think out of all the other options to put my wealth in, this is probably the most safest bet, least riskiest.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm making that same bet as well. So I 100%. Yeah. So Eric, you've been very generous with your time. So I really appreciate you coming on. Why don't you tell people where they can find you and get in contact with Bitcoin Talent Co.
Sweet. Yeah. Interested at all. We have a general application for job seekers in the Bitcoin space. You can upload your resume, some more information about yourself, and just go to bitcointalent.co and you'll see right away there's an option for a button to click I want a Bitcoin job. So just go fill out that general application, and at very minimum, that at least puts you in our talent pool. So any upcoming jobs that we're helping to hire for, you'll be considered for it if you fall under that domain or expertise. And if you're a Bitcoin company listening too, like, we obviously love to work with you. We're just a team of Bitcoiners. We have Bitcoin recruiters, and it's all we want to do is help build the Bitcoin network. And we have expertise in that domain itself. And then lastly, if you want to follow me, my Twitter here, it's on the screen at least. It's at epodrules. That's EPODRULZ. And don't make fun of me. I made that in middle school and somehow still have it. So
that's awesome. Yeah, yep. The old middle school screen name, right? I mean, it almost brings you back to like the AIM days where, you know, you had some.
That's, yeah, I know. It's still my Apple ID is my AIM.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. All right. Well, Eric, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I guess we'll have to have you come back on and get an update maybe later on and see when the job market's heating up.
Definitely during the bull market. We'll see what's different. That'd be great. But yeah. Thank you so much, Brandon. I had a fun time talking with you.
Awesome. Thanks, man.